Growing up in the Imperial Valley, east of San Diego, Fernando's Wyfak Lopez Jr. had dreams of working on movies.
Working on sci-fi films, specifically Star Wars, was my dream, and that clearly did not happen, but that's what at least brought me to San Diego, was the hope of education in an environment where I wasn't constantly being harassed and bullied.
Life in El Centro wasn't easy for Fernando, as they struggled with a difficult home life, an ill brother, and a parent's acrimonious divorce. But it was their sexuality that often caused the most pain, and it was San Diego that they looked to escape it. Welcome to My First Day, telling stories of those who've come to San Diego from elsewhere and now call it home. My name is Andrew Bracken. Often people feel the need to travel to faraway places to find where they belong. But for Fernando Lopez, a short drive across a desert landscape at dusk would suffice. Sometimes traveling a short distance can take you a whole world away. Fernando's story, after the break.
Hi, I'm Maya Tribulsi, news anchor for KPBS Evening Edition. At KPBS, we're storytellers, providing trusted, accurate news and information to our community. But not everyone realizes how important that is. And that's why we're asking you to tell that story during Public Media Giving Days. Share what inspires you on KPBS. Text, call, or post with hashtag Public Media Gives. And thanks.
Here's Fernando Lopez with his story of
My First Day. Yeah, growing up in the 80s in the Imperial Valley, I guess I have some good memories from before my brother got sick. Our house was the last house in the city. And so we could walk out of the house and go like pet the sheep that were eating alfalfa in the grass. That's sort of a weird thing maybe to think about here in San Diego, but we had a very big house and a big front yard and backyard, and it was the sort of community where everyone could ride bikes everywhere, and, you know, you leave your bikes out and the kids are all over running around the town, and everyone just sort of felt safe in that way. And yeah, no one locked their doors. I remember like walking down to my friend's house or biking to my friend's house, and like you always just opened the front door. You never knocked, and like that was just the culture there. And, you know, I mean, it's weird to say, but I remember before we got a Vons, you know, I remember like when you had a local grocer and a local butcher and a barbershop, and they were not like these corporate name brands. You sort of think about a rural farming community in America. That's the Imperial Valley, except the labor there is Latino, the labor there is Mexican. It was my family.
With a Jewish mother from the East Coast and a father from Mexico, Fernando already felt a little different from other kids. But that difference was amplified by other personal discoveries.
I think my parents, you know, had prepared me to be this person who was already different, but they did not prepare me to grow up as a queer person in the Imperial Valley. I knew that I liked girl things, or what, you know, quote unquote girl things, right? Like, I knew that I liked pink, and I knew that I liked dresses, and I thought women were beautiful, but not in a way that I was attracted to them. And I was a smart kid. And so.
And that was early on.
I remember in kindergarten, like, you know, why can't I dress up like the fairy princess? Why am I told no? And why can't I play with Barbies? Like, I wanted to play with Barbies and My Little Ponies, and I wanted a Rainbow Bright doll. And I was told that I couldn't have one. And, you know, but my brother could have all the G.I. Joes that he wanted. And, you know, I was really into science and art. That's sort of the part of me that got nurtured, and I got a, you know, chemistry set, and I got like plastic dinosaurs that I could play with because I love studying dinosaurs. Just, I was a nerd. I was a huge nerd. And so my parents really leaned into that. They were like, yeah, be a nerd, learn all the smart things, you know, but we're not going to give you a My Little Pony. And I so grateful that I was a smart little kid. Because school was never hard. I mean, the kids, dealing with kids was hard, but learning was never hard. Like, learning was always just came really easily to me. I remember just, you know, being terrified of recess. Like, I think every kid is excited for recess. I was terrified of recess because it meant there was no adult supervision. And so in junior high, I would go and find a bush or behind a trailer and take my lunch and hide. Everyone knew I was different and didn't want to be my friend because, you know, well, who wants to be friends with the gay kid? That's how stigmatized it was, and that's how lonely junior high felt. You know, high school was, especially that first year, was like peak family drama. And I thought maybe it'll be different, and like someone outed me at school. And at that point, like by the time I was 13, I had said to myself, oh, that gay thing? Yeah, super that. I am totally, that is the thing that I am. Dudes? Yes, I like dudes. Great. Got it. And I, you know, sort of began to like unhinge that toxic sentiment that you place on yourself or the word that is placed on you. So I was like, oh yeah, no, I am gay and I am also pretty amazing. So you all just have this wrong.
What spurred that?
I think it was the first time I kissed a boy and I was just like, oh, you are also gay and I am gay and that is what this means. Sort of just uncovering that for myself and being like, oh, no, this feels great. Like, this is wonderful. You just sort of get it. You know, you are that or you're not that. And you want to kiss boys or you want to kiss girls or you don't. And I kissed a boy and I was like, oh, this is what everyone's talking about? Oh, hell yeah. Like, this is great.
After coming out to their father, Fernando's home life went from bad to worse. And so Fernando decided to finish high school a year early and began to set their sights on a familiar place not far away.
So I remember San Diego being so beautiful and being so stricken with how gorgeous Mission Valley was before it was developed. And just thinking, like, I didn't want to be in this desert that was this, like, very real, like, actual desert, but also this desert of, I don't know, compassion. Like, there was nothing out there for me. Like, there was no life out there as a desert. And then there was just, like, no life or future for me there. And San Diego with its, like, the river and these gorgeous trees all in the valley, like, that, there was life in San Diego. As I got into high school, I started hearing these rumors about kids who were gay but in the closet and would move out of the Imperial Valley, moved to San Diego because, you know, there's gay people there. And so it was like, oh, there's this like hidden mecca of gay people that is close enough that if I go there, maybe I can find other gay people. You would sort of hear, oh, well, you know, so-and-so's cousin is gay and moved to San Diego. Oh, yeah, well, I also know that so-and-so's sister is gay and she moved to there, and oh, and they're living together, and oh, great. And so you would hear these stories there and you're like, oh, well, maybe I can also go to San Diego where the gay people are. I was hopeful that I would find whatever that meant, whatever a gay community was, because there certainly wasn't one out in the Imperial Valley.
When we come back, Fernando makes the trek.
Hello, podcast listener. Full disclosure, I'm going to make some assumptions about you. This probably isn't the only podcast you enjoy. Blink if I'm right. It's probably not the only thing you watch or listen to on KPBS either. If I'm right about that, then I'm guessing you make it a point to check in on a regular basis to see what's new, take in the latest and greatest, and then you go back to your daily life until we happily come together again. We're sort of like a virtual buffet. When you're hungry for information and entertainment, you go to KPBS and want to eat, consume all you can, right? Well, you should know that when you become a member of KPBS, you're keeping the entire TV, radio, and online trays full of fresh ideas, like the tasty podcast you're enjoying right now. Help feed your appetite for KPBS. Become a member today. Just go to kpbs.org, click the blue Give Now button, and make a donation. Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of things, but I was really grateful that I had been given a car by my father, and so I still had that. And I was with my best friend Amanda, and her house was where I had stayed a lot. And so I just packed up my stuff, and I hugged her goodbye, and just drove off. And I remember just being terrified because as much as I'd been to San Diego, I didn't know what it was going to be like without a real support network up here. And yeah, you don't know. You're like, literally felt like you were driving into the unknown. It was this summer day and you're driving to the desert and we get so many yellow butterflies. And I just have this like really vivid memory of these butterflies in the wind in the middle of the desert. And you're driving literally through butterflies, so your windshield's getting splattered with these yellow butterflies, and you're seeing their dead bodies in the road, and you're also watching how beautiful it is. And these like clouds of yellow butterflies, and it was just this very bizarre, beautiful, and traumatic thing. And I just remember really feeling connected to that moment in this moment of change in my life, that it was like, God, how appropriate that I'm watching this really beautiful thing that is also really gross and devastating happen. And I was literally driving off into the sunset towards San Diego. I drove past the now leaving El Centro sign and I flipped it off on the way out. And just feeling grateful that I had made it that far. I had met someone online who was about my age. I mean, I think maybe it was exactly my age, and a gay kid who lived in San Diego. And I had made arrangements like, I am in San Diego, I will meet you, and like, you will show me this world. And so that was part of my first day. And took me to my very first like gay party. And it was all Latinos and all gay guys, and I was just like, oh my God, you do exist. I mean, the end of that day is like, okay, well, this, like, I can do this. This is hope.
Today, Fernando Lopez is the executive director of San Diego Pride, an LGBTQ advocacy organization and organizer of the annual San Diego Pride Parade. My First Day is produced by me, Andrew Bracken, along with help from Melissa Diaz. Our email is myfirstdaystories@gmail.com. On Instagram, we're at myfirstdaystories. You can also find me at andrewbracken.com. Music by Jason Began. Theme music by Chris Curtis. Additional music by Annie Cordero. For KPBS, Emily Jankowski's technical director, Kinsey Moreland's podcast coordinator, Lisa Jane Morissette's operations manager, and John Decker is director of programming. This programming is made possible in part by the KPBS Explore Content Fund. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back soon with more My First Day stories.
Hi, I'm Maya Tribulsi, news anchor for KPBS Evening Edition. At KPBS, we're storytellers, providing trusted, accurate news and information to our community. But not everyone realizes how important that is. And that's why we're asking you to tell that story during Public Media Giving Days. Share what inspires you on KPBS. Text, call, or post with hashtag Public Media Gives. And thanks.